ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Akanya-bhartu-gaditam. Oh, does everybody have the right verse? It's 30, yeah. Akanya-bhartu-gaditam. Tam uchur-deva-satravaha. Devan-prati-krita-marsha. Daiteya nātiko vidāha. Akanya bhartu garitam. Tam uchur deva shatravaha. Devan prati krita marsha. Daiteya nātiko vidāha. Akarnya. After hearing Bhartuhu of their master, Garidam, the words or statement, Tam Uchuhu replied to him, Deva Shatravaha, all the Asuras who were enemies of the demigods. Devan, the demigods, prati, toward, krita amarshaha, who were envious, daiteyaha, the asuras, na, not, atiko vidaha, who were very expert in executing transactions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After hearing their master's statement, the envious asuras, who were enemies of the demigods and were not very expert in their dealings, advised Kamsa as follows. Purport. There are two different types of men, the asuras and the asuras. Dvau bhuta saga loke smin. Daiva asura eva cha Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tad viparyaya. Those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, asuras or devas, whereas those who are opposed to the devotees are called asuras. Devotees are expert in all transactions. Yasyasti bhaktiya bhagavat yakinchana savarganais tatra samasate suraha. Therefore they are called kovira, which means expert. Asuras, however, although superficially showing expertise in passionate activities, are actually all fools. They are neither sober nor expert. Whatever they do is imperfect. Mogasha moga kamanaha. According to this description of the asuras given in Bhagavad Gita 9.12, whatever they do will ultimately be baffled. It was such persons who advised Kamsa, because they were his chief friends and ministers. Om Magyana Timurandasya Kyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, we were hearing who were the ministers of Kamsa, Chanura, you know, Pralamba, Keshi, and so on. Various very powerful demons who could shapeshift at will, and who by modern standards were, you know, practically Superman, you know. And so although they had such wonderful powers and even expertise in certain areas, still because they're Vishnu Viparyaya, because they're against Vishnu, ultimately all their plans and activities were to be baffled. It's just like in the chapter of killing of Putana, then Jiva Goswami mentions that Kamsa was such a fool. He made so much expert plans to try and kill Krishna, who he knew had taken birth somewhere else. But, you know, when he sent Putana to kill all the children who were born within the last 10 days, then what happened, according to Yogamaya, is that she was only able to kill all the children of Kamsa's government. She was only able to kill the children of Kamsa's men. This is what Jiva Goswami says in his commentary, that this is the foolishness of Kamsa. This is the moga asha and moga kamanaha. He had this desire to kill all the children, but what happened is that, you know, he only ended up, you know, killing the children of his own men. So Yogamaya is always one step ahead of the asuras. You know, even though they have so much expertise, you know, it's ultimately for nothing, because, you know, they don't have they don't use their expertise for the right purpose. They don't use it for purpose of transcendental knowledge, the purpose of surrendering to Krishna. So it's ultimately a useless endeavor. But Prabhupada quotes in this purport this famous verse, Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavat Yakinchana Savai Gunai Statra Samasate Sura. On the other hand, one who performs devotional service unto Krishna, then all the good qualities of the demigods reside in him. Sometimes devotees may have a problem with this verse, because, you know, they may see a real case of a devotee, problem case, and they may think, you know, where is the good qualities in this devotee? He gets angry so easily, or, you know, he's so envious of somebody else's accomplishments, or he's always striving for position and power and stepping on everybody on the way. You know, we may see these asuric qualities in the personality of a devotee sometimes. We may seem to see him, or we may really see him. But, and then, you know, somebody may get fried out of the association of devotees and start going to university and so on, and making friends with all the karmis and thinking, wow, these people are wonderful, such wonderful qualities. You know, sometimes devotees do like that, you know, particularly if maybe they join in a certain temple where, you know, they got some like tyrant as a temple commander who really makes their life tough, and then they go to the this so-called polished civilization outside, which on the outside looks great, but, you know, once you take a bite into it, it's a rotten apple, you know. So they get deluded like this. So what is the answer to that? You know, what's really happening is that there's Swarupa Lakshana and Tatastha Lakshana. The Swarupa Lakshana of a devotee is that he's surrendered to Krishna. He's properly situated in his determination. All his endeavors are actually meant for pleasing Krishna, or at least he's trying on that path. You know, his aspirations, his determination is in the right direction. So his Swarupa Lakshana is actually very saintly, it's very divine. But sometimes the Tatastha Lakshana may come out, certain conditioning, you know, gets angry, or, you know, he loses it. So that's all Tatastha Lakshana. It's only there for a certain amount of time, but his mainstay is actually in the devotional service of Hari. Whereas the other way around, for the Kamis, you know, they may have sometimes wonderful Tatastha Lakshana, very polite, very cordial, very even seemingly caring and so on. Although it's very difficult for somebody to be selfless if you're a materialist, because it's all about selfish gain. But they may seem to have so many wonderful qualities, but those are just on the surface. They're just a tasta. The real underlying quality, their real swarupa lakshana, is that, you know, that they're you know, Bhagavat Vimukha. They've turned their face away from Krishna and they're just, you know, trying to fulfill desires for sense gratification at any cost. So sometimes things are not exactly what they seem. You have to look under the surface sometimes to see what's actually going on. So as devotees, we may find these qualities in our own heart. Lust, greed, anger, envy, you know, illusion, so on. Pride, even. So, I mean, what do we do when we find them? There's a, you know, we understand that ultimately our only method of dealing with these things is to try and actively avoid them, but more so than that, it's just to be absorbed in hearing the Lord's pastimes, in chanting the Lord's names, serving the devotees, you know, doing so much of the angas of devotional service. That's actually what automatically drives out these qualities. It's not that by just focusing on, okay, I've got so much lust, I got so much greed, and then trying to, like, on your own strength, trying to get rid of those qualities, that you can so much get rid of them. It's not that easy. Prabhupada gives the example of if you have a glass full of ink, then the only way to empty that glass of the ink, the black, grotty, you know, thick ink, the only way to get that out is to pour milk in there. And the milk automatically lifts out the ink and, you know, makes it flow out of the glass. And eventually, after so much pouring of milk, you just have milk. But if you try and just pour out the ink out of the glass, then you're going to still have a glass stained with ink. You know, you can't get it out just by pouring it out. You have to use a cleaning agent like milk. So, Krishna even says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that, Shaknoti haiva yat shodam praksharira vimokshanat kama krodud bhavam vegam sayukta sasukinara. That one who is able to tolerate the urges that come from lust and anger in particular, one is able to tolerate the forces, the pushings of this lust and anger, until he gives up the body, he is actually yukta, he is actually connected with me, he's actually a yogi. And he's actually sukhi. He's actually happy. So the idea, the upalakshana behind this verse is that as long as you have a material body, don't expect that, you know, you're going to be free from lust and anger and all these qualities, because they more or less, they're part of the package deal of the material body, you know. Just like I was watching some Prabhupada memories the other day, and one devotee was telling the story how he was all fired up to take sannyas, and he was on the sannyas waiting list, and, you know, he was in England, this devotee, and he went to speak to Shama Sundar and said, okay, I think I want to go and finally ask Srila Prabhupada now, you know, I've been on the waiting list for such and such time. And but Shama Sundar, you know, heavied him out a bit and said that, you know, are you sure that you're fully free from sex desire and that, you know, you can maintain this your whole life, and, you know, are you sure that you'll never think of getting married? And, you know, you should get married, actually. If you have the slightest thought of these things, you should get married. This is what Shama Sundar told him. And then, so Shama Sundar told him, just think about it for one night, and if you still want tomorrow, then come back and you can talk with Srila Prabhupada. So that devotee was thinking about it all night, and he couldn't get much sleep. And he realized, yeah, I have to get married. I think about these things sometimes, you know. So, oh, I better get married then, you know. So the next day he went to see Srila Prabhupada, but with a different plan now. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I need to get married, you know. And Srila Prabhupada said, who has done this to you? And the devotee explained that, well, you know, this devotee Shamasunde, you know, I was thinking to take sannyas, and you know, but he you know, explained that if I even sometimes think about these things, better to be honest. And then he sent out a devotee to call in Shamasunda, and Shamasunda came in, and Prabhupada said, you know, what right do you have to tell my brahmacharis to get married? You know, he said, nobody in this material world is free from sex desire. It comes along with the material body. Nobody's free from it. You know, so, you know, we have all these qualities, and they're constantly nagging us, unfortunately, as a real drag. And but we have to be expert at, you know, sidestepping them and just absorbing our consciousness in Krishna. And when we absorb our consciousness in Krishna, then they automatically subside, actually. They go to the background, they disappear in the consciousness. When you have Krishna prominent in your consciousness. So in that regard, I'd like to read something very interesting that that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke at a lecture here in Radhakund. He was coming several times in Kartik with a big parikrama party of thousands of devotees. And his preaching, he was so strong that it really stirred up a lot of people, you know. The caste Goswamis, they didn't like him, you know. The Babajis, they didn't like him, because the Sahajas didn't like him, you know. He had so many enemies, and they were concentrated in Vrindavan, because that's where you find all these different kinds of people. And in Bengal also, of course. But, you know, for example, when he'd go down the streets of Loi Bazaar, then all the Kaska Swamis would shut the doors of the temple, and sometimes they even tried to stone his parikrama party. So it was, you know, he was, by speaking the truth, plain and simple, by exposing so much of the nonsense, he had created so much waves, and people were agitated because they were not willing to give up their maya, they were attached to it, and so they considered him an enemy. Anyway, when he came to Radhakund, he was giving lectures on Sri Ishapanishad in Radhakund. And, you know, it was advertised everywhere, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you know, lectures on Sri Ishapanishad. And he was a famous guru, so people were coming to listen, even some Babajis were coming to listen. But, you know, after some time, criticism started, you know, that, look at this, you know, so-called Vaishnava guru, he's coming to Radhakund, the holy abode of Srimati Radharani, and he's lecturing on the Upanishads. This is what they are this is what they are criticizing about. Of course, we know Sri Upanishads, it's quite directly related to the Lord and his qualities, so it's a special Upanishad. But, you know, they were saying like this. So on the last day of his series of lectures on Sri Upanishad, He spoke some amazing siddhanta, which really put things in the place and really silenced such criticisms. So I'll just read that so we can get the full effect of his words. You know, this is in the last day of his lecture of Radhakund. He says, all these days we have not spoken about Leela. Why? Because this is our most confidential asset. This is our only sadhya. But one should not make the mistake of thinking that anatta nivritti is the prayojana. One should not make the mistake of thinking that anatta nivritti is the ultimate goal. It has to be there. You know, what's the question of going back to Godhead without cleansing our hearts? But sometimes, like we were saying before, sometimes as devotees, especially as new fanatic brahmacharis, we have this tendency to think, it's just, you know, getting rid of the lust or getting rid of the, you know, we're so much focusing on the negative qualities, and that's our meditation or even our goal, our prayojana. So it says, one should not make the mistake of thinking that anatta nivritti is the prayojana. One thinking like this will never enter into artha pravritti. So you have anatta nivritti, the cessation of the unwanted things, or just stepping away from unwanted activities, unwanted qualities. And you have artha pravritti, or applying oneself to beneficial activities or to activities that have value, etc. So anatta-navritti, and then the opposite of that, artha-pravritti. So he says, for this reason, for this reason I will begin speaking about Astakalila Lila. Now he actually doesn't begin speaking about this in the lecture, but he's making a certain point, because we know it's not really Bhaktisiddhanta's style. He was very careful. He was always protecting his devotees from jumping. But he says like this here, for this reason I will begin speaking about Astakalila Lila. I know that you are not ready to hear it, but we should know that such a transcendental idea exists within the realm of devotion. That is why anatta-navritti is essential. In other words, sometimes the guru gives a delineation of the higher rungs of bhakti, even though he knows his disciples are not on that level, but just to establish what is the actual prayojana. Because sanna bhakti is like shooting an arrow. It's like shooting a bow. You have to aim it somewhere. You have to have a particular conception while you're rendering your devotional service. Mindless devotional service doesn't lead to a particular loving relationship in the Lord's abode. Eventually, devotional service is supposed to lead to the platform of sthayi bhava, where one realizes one's relationship with Krishna, and then one actually does one's devotional service in that capacity, in that particular relationship. So sometimes the guru gives some information of some higher steps of devotional service, just so devotees can know what to aim for. Actually, when you have a bow and you're shooting an arrow, you should have a target. So like this, he says, I know that you're not ready to hear it, but we should know that such a transcendental idea exists within the realm of devotion. This is why anatta-navritti is essential. You know, why are we doing all this anatta-navritti anyway? For this prayojana. After the realm of anatta-navritti is artha-pravritti, pure conjugal service to Radha and Krishna. This is the transcendental reality. If we do not know of this transcendental realm, then all of our efforts may end in nirvishesha-vad. So everything is about balance, actually. Sometimes certain devotees become too esoteric and they speak far beyond their level all the time, and they never like to hear the simple truths of devotional service, like, you know, this body and you know, about the material world and maya and so on, and things that we actually need to hear about in our conditioned state, or about Krishna's killing the demons. Even that, sometimes they will reject that because they think that, you know, we just have to go for the rasika topic. So the, you know, they consider themselves very exclusive like that. So sometimes that tendency is there of devotees, and sometimes the opposite tendency is there of the devotees, that because we are warned about becoming like this, devotees become super defensive. And, you know, if somebody starts narrating certain pastimes of Krishna, it's like, you know, that's it. You know, they can't stand to hear it practically, which is actually kind of like a tending towards like a demoniac tendency. So these are extremes, and we do see both in, you know, generally both in neophyte devotees, we see supreme immature attachment to the intimate pastimes, or just complete almost aversion practically to hearing them. Or we even make taboos out of the, you know, like for example, sometimes we say Raganuga Bhakti, or we say certain things about higher levels of devotional service, and they become like taboo words just because of some misconduct which has gone on in certain groups. So these tendencies are there, but we should understand both, and there should actually be sufficient balance of both, because this is why he says, if we do not know of this transcendental realm, then all of our efforts may end in nirvishesha-vad. You know, if we do not know of Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, his activities, you know, his, you know, wonderful nature, what makes him so wonderful as Krishna, what makes him all attractive, if we do not know what makes him all attractive, then how can we really be attracted to Krishna? You know, without having sufficient appreciation for the qualities, the pastimes, which means, you know, taking time as well as hearing the philosophy to hear the pastimes, balance. It's all about balance. So Bhaktisiddhanta's warning here, if we go on this side, that, you know, we just don't want to hear about these things, then all our efforts may end in nirvisheshavad. You just become voidus. You know, no appreciation for Krishna's qualities. So, of course, that's an extreme. And generally, devotees don't suffer from any of these two extremes. It's a rare case, but... So he says, do not let your days pass in trying for anatta nivritti. Artha pravritti is also necessary. Anatta nivritti is necessary until artha pravritti has started. So here he's putting things in perspective. Anatta nivritti is necessary until artha pravritti has started. So from the platform of nista, really, artha pravritti starts. Nista, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. From here, it's you're really entering into things. You've emptied out your dirty cup of ink, and you're more or less becoming fixed. Although it's said that really the anartas don't really, subtle traces of anartas actually don't go away to the siddhadeha is achieved. Actually, we may say anarta nivritti, that's the main set of anartas have gone. But actually subtle things may be there even up until the stage of attaining the siddhadeha. And the prominent example is Bhuvamangala Thakur. He had already achieved, or Bharat Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, they both had already achieved bhava in their previous lives. But due to some slight lingering attachment, you know, it can even happen from the stage of bhava. You know, so they fell down and there were some things, but again, quickly they were able to pick up where they left off and achieve perfection in one lifetime. So he says that, do not let your days pass in trying for anatta nivritti. Artha pravritti is also necessary. Anatta nivritti is necessary until artha pravritti has started. When artha pravritti is present, then anatta nivritti becomes unimportant. Artha pravritti becomes prominent. Those who have chanted Harinam for 15 or 20 years, you should know such things. The beginners not need hear these topics or they will misunderstand. These topics are for certain audiences, not for all. Also it is said, apana bhajana kata na kahibi jatatata. One should not reveal one's bhajan to others. If we disregard this instruction of our previous acharyas, then there may be a permanent fall from the realm of devotional service. By removing the clothes of the gopis, Krishna obtained happiness. This is Krishna's sense gratification. We cannot ask, why is he a sense enjoyer? Let us see Krishna display the behavior of controlling his senses. Krishna will not become a slave to our desires. Krishna, by his own will, can show us sense restraint. He did so in his form as Gaurasunda. By that example, he is informing us that no one except Krishna has the right to remove the clothes of the gopis. Our duty is to cultivate devotional service. Do not think that Astaka Lila Lila Smarana is the property of the Sahajas. Actually, it is our affair. It has to be retrieved from the hands of the Sahajas. Our Sri Guru Parapadma heard these things from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his guru, his calling Gokishwar Das Babaji, his Sri Guru Parapadma. That is why he used to tell us various confidential things. We have heard the last instructions from our Sri Gurudev. He said, living in Radhakund would be pleasant if you can deliver it from the hands of 11 immoral men. Now perhaps 11 has increased to 108. So we know that Bhaktisiddhanta sometimes would say that better to stay in Govardhan and visit Radhakund than trying to live in Radhakund, because he was always very protective of his devotees. Because as beginners in devotional service, we have this tendency to just like, you know, it's like another kind of sense gratification actually, to just like, just lunge onto all the intimate things, you know, without adhikar. It's actually another kind of sense gratification in the immature stage. So he would be very careful to warn about these things, but at the same time we see here how he's also very careful to establish what the actual prayojana is. Not that the devotees should just become fanatics about anatta nivritti and and think that things like Astakalila Lila Smarana, which is for very advanced devotees, think that it's only for the sahajas and that it's not actually a bona fide process. It is a bona fide process. It's not generally for Nephite devotees. It's something that naturally comes later. It's something that naturally comes, actually, when you've been hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and when you're chanting Hare Krishna, when you're chanting name, you know, like a song like Vibhavari Shesha, it's all about the pastimes of Krishna, and you naturally remember all these things. And if you're an advanced devotee, then, you know, your remembrance is very exhilarating and amazing. Our process is that we cannot always, you know, our problem is that we cannot always think of Krishna. That's why we cannot actually do this particular process of Astakalila Lila Smaranam, because we can't always think of Krishna. That's the point. Krishna addresses this problem in Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna that, he first of all tells him in the 12th chapter that Mayeva mano adatsva, mayeva buddhim niveshaya. That, you know, fix your mind in me and engage all your intelligence in me. In this way, you will always live in me without a doubt. So this is his first instruction to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. That first engage your mind always in me. This is smarana. This is always meditating, always remembering Krishna, Krishna's qualities, his pastimes, etc. So that's the first priority. But because Krishna understands that, you know, it's not easy for somebody to just to switch from being a conditioned soul into that platform of always remembering Krishna, so he gives a second option. And this is generally the platform that that we are on and that the acharyas have catered to for us. So he says that atachitam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayi stiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dananjaya. That if you are unable to fix your mind in me, then abhyasa yogena tato mam ichaptum dananjaya, then mam aptum icha dananjaya abhyasa yogena. If you can't always fix your mind in me, then Krishna orders, then desire to attain me by practicing abhyasa yoga, by practicing what the acharyas explain as sadhana bhakti, or the yoga of repeated practice. So this is the platform that we're on. We have to get icha, we have to get desire for Krishna. Our main problem is that we don't have desire for Krishna. That's really all that's lacking. Just like I heard in the class the other day, maybe it was your class, that you know, unless you're a mumukshu, there's no question of liberation. You may be doing all the right activities for liberation, but unless there's a desire to have it, wasn't your class? Okay, somebody else. Unless there's a desire to have it, then you can't actually attain it. You know, because we come into this world by desire and we leave it by desire. That's why that verse is there, that Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kitopi labhite tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sikritaya na labhite. A famous verse that, you know, that if there is if it can be attained anywhere, then by all means purchase such a mind that is always engrossed in Krishna bhakti rasa, because greed, lolium, is the only price that can, you know, really buy this prema, this love of Krishna. And that janma koti sukritaya api labhyate. That it's not, you know, this prema is not attained even by doing, you know, thousands of you know, pious or even devotional activities mindlessly for, you know, hundreds of lifetimes. You can do all the right things, but if you haven't actually attained this desire, if you don't have that desire to attain Krishna in your heart, then you actually don't go back to Godhead. But that's the whole point of sadhana bhakti. By doing sadhana bhakti, gradually you do attain that desire. That's why Krishna orders it. You know, abhyasa yogena tato mam aptam icha jananjaya. That, you know, you just desire to attain me by practicing sadhana bhakti. So that's really what we got to come to, is the stage of actually desiring Krishna. That's what we have to cultivate in our practice. Our problem is we're desiring so much other things. You know, Vasudeva Savamiti Samahadma Sudulabha. The great soul who thinks that Vasudeva is everything, he is, you know, very rare. Because we think that Vasudeva is something, but Maya is also something. You know, we think that, you know, something's there in Maya for us. You know, so we're maintaining separate agendas while doing our devotional service. That's our problem. When we only want Krishna, when we think Vasudeva Savamiti, that Krishna is everything, you know, that is worth attaining, then we very easily go back to Godhead. Until then, we have to keep practicing abhyasa, abhyasa. So this is sadhana bhakti. We have to be honest, understand where we are, and at the same time, understand where we should be going. That's the point. Okay, is there any questions or comments? Do we have another microphone?
Where is that transcription you're reading from? Where does that come from? What does it actually consist of?
I think it looks like maybe it's an English translation. I don't think he spoke in English. It says from Sri Guru Parampara, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Heir to the Esoteric Life of Kedarnath Bhaktivinoda by Tripurari Maharaj, Harmonist Publishers, 98. So I think it's maybe that big book that they... I don't know. Do you know this book? Heir to the Esoteric Life of Kedarnath Bhaktivinoda? I don't know it either. I thought maybe it's that big book that they made about Prabhupada. I guess it's just... Anyway, it's published, yeah. It's an English translation of the Bengali, I guess. Yeah. Because when Bhaktisiddhanta would give a lecture, he'd have several devotees sitting down and transcribing his words. And I guess devotees later translated that into English. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I'm sorry, I think I spoke a long time. Is that the real time over there?
Okay.
Is that what? 20 to 9. Okay. Say, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.